Rod's Pulse Podcast number 57. Teaching Skills Using Rich Media and Pod's A Four Piece.
Hi, this is Blake Morgan, and you're listening to Rod's Pulse Podcast.
This is Rod's Pulse Podcast, the podcast for faculty and students interested in learning how to use and create podcasts and other e-learning technologies. Welcome back.
Hi, this is Rod. Welcome back. How did you like that? That's a song called If Every Day Were Christmas, and it's by an interesting group. It's a group called PodSafe for Peace, and the unique part about it is that it was a group project. It was something that was initiated by Adam Curry, the Podfather. It's a collaboration between 32 singers from 9 different countries, and these folks were all brought together through podcasting. It was their desire to pool their talents for a worthy cause. So you can go to the link I have in my show notes, and you can purchase that song, If Every Day Were Christmas, for 99 cents, and all the proceeds will go to UNICEF. So it's a worthwhile cause. Listen to the full song at the end of my podcast. Today I'm going to cover 3 items from the Podosphere I thought you might be interested in, and then my main topic today, which I think you'll find very interesting, is a faculty person who is going to tell us how to teach skills online using rich media. So first, some news from the Podosphere. The first thing I noticed was an article in the New York Times. It was entitled, "What Did the Professor Say? Check Your iPod." And the article goes on to talk about schools that are using Class Capture. They mentioned the University of Central Florida, which is using Tegrity, which I've talked about in the past, and Purdue, which is using Echo 360. Echo 360 is apparently the new brand for Appresso Classroom, I've talked about in the past. That's what we're using at Thomas Jefferson University, and it's being used at Temple, I know, in the city. So I'll have links to the 2 vendors and also this article on my show notes. The article goes on to talk about how students don't obviously need to be trained because they know how to use an iPod or other MP3 player, and they can quickly review their lecture if they missed it. Tegrity, for example, indexes all the text on the instructor's slides, so the student can just type in a word and quickly jump to that portion in the lecture and then play back the audio and see the slides. So just want to bring that to your attention. Another article that drew my attention was the fact that Yale University is now opening their courses to the public. They're in the form of video. There's a flash player. They provide free and open access to 7 introductory courses taught by distinguished teachers and scholars at Yale University. So the aim of the project is to expand access to educational materials for all who wish to learn, as they say. But it's probably a pretty good marketing tool to help bring students to their school. So this is something to consider. So try it for yourself. Learn something about astronomy or philosophy or physics. Go to their website. It's open.yale.edu. More and more schools are tending to do this. I know Harvard and Stanford have opened up a lot of their courses, Berkeley, usually through iTunes U. But in this case, Yale is doing it on their own website. The last bit of news from the Podosphere that I wanted to bring to your attention was an article I noticed in the Chronicle of Higher Education. their series on the Wired campus. The article is entitled Copyright Alliance Proposes Wiki to Help Professors Get Permissions for Classroom Use. There's a nonprofit group called the Copyright Alliance. Their members include associations for the motion picture and recording industries. The idea is that they wanted to create a website where professors could post questions like can they use a clip from a movie? They mentioned Monty Python and the Holy Grail in a class on British humor and so forth. And then get an answer from the industry, an industry official, quickly. This sort of information can normally take weeks, if not months, to track down. So they're hoping to speed up that process. So it's something to keep your eye out for. Now for my main topic today. I wasn't able to go to EDUCAUSE this year, but I always like to follow up on their website to see what's new, especially how faculty are using podcasting. And I ran across an article entitled Using Video Streaming and Podcasting to Design Rich Media Online Courses. And it was on the EDUCAUSE site in the form of a podcast. The presentation at EDUCAUSE was given by Diane Zorn. Diane is a course director at York University's School of Arts and Letters and the School of Administrative Studies. And she talks about her lessons learned and best practices for creating highly interactive, student-centered, rich media online courses with customizable and mobile learning using a product called MediaSite from Sonic Foundry. Again, I'll have a link to these sites on my show notes. She used streaming video and also audio podcasting. Now, it's interesting, she notes on her website that the course is the second one in Canada to provide video podcasts of lectures. It was a course with 105 students. And the interesting part is it was designed to teach skills online, because in this case, the student would have to see the behavior modeled in a video. She learned a lot of lessons, and rather than go through them all myself, I thought I would play about a 5-minute clip from different sections of her complete audio podcast session. I'll have the link to the complete 30-minute presentation on my show notes, and I recommend you listen to the whole thing. She explained some of the issues about putting a course online for the first time and some of her lessons learned. For example, you can't just replicate the in-class experience. You have to attempt to build a sense of community. And you can't have complete control. The students are adept at using the technology, and sometimes it can seem like they're taking over. So rather than just talk about it, let me go ahead and play the clip. Here it goes.
I'd like to start by talking about lessons learned. I'm starting here because I learned a lot of lessons, and it's because I made a lot of mistakes in the beginning. So my course is a fully online rich media course. It's a philosophy course. That has to be said. It's a critical thinking course that I'm going to show you. It teaches students how to think for themselves from the ground up. It's skills-based, not content-based. So that's like trying to teach a student how to swim or play tennis online, fully online. On how to get conversation going in online courses, how to develop community, what I discovered was that a lot of what I read in theory didn't work in practice. And I had to go back and actually look at the studies and say, well, why didn't that work? They made it sound so good in this article. Part of the problem is my class had 105 students in it. Boy, was I surprised to find that community erupted in places on the site that I never expected. I had a room on that first site that I designed called Post Questions for the Professor Here. The students completely took over the room, took it over, to the point where in the beginning I was a bit uncomfortable with that because that was supposed to be my room where I went in to answer the questions. Now, every course subsequently that I've designed, I've put up a room that's called Prof Never Enters Here. Prof and TA Never Enters Here, and it really works. It's filled with comments, and I promise the students, I send them an email to the whole course saying, I don't go into that room, and I don't. Attempting this before we had MediaSite technology, V-streaming technology. He didn't have that. If he had had that, he could have done what I did. But to teach skills, you have to be able to model the behavior. And I use MediaSite because it captures my face on the left, and on the right is either a dot cam projector, internet, or PowerPoint slides that are synchronized. And students can go on slide view and jump to slide 10, and I pop up talking about it. School life, academic life, and their entertainment are completely commingling, so that a student could get up in the morning, download their lectures to their iPod, while at the same time, that iPod has their music, it has their movies on it, or their Sony PlayStation. And there's this mingling, right? And this complete, one person calls it native expressiveness, that our students today, for the most part, have. These are students under 30. It's over 30, it's hard to say. I'm developing an educational theory and pedagogy from the ground up called inactive education, E-N-A-C-T-I-V-E. Inactive education is based on a cognitive scientific theory of how the mind works, but in online environments, I've been designing what I call inactive online learning environments. That is, you know how some people say knowledge is constructed, socially constructed, and other people say, well, it's more like deposited. I believe it's enacted through shared relationships, so that knowledge, teaching, and learning emerge out of reciprocal relationships. And in the online learning environment, I've designed it so that it's reciprocally adaptive. So that's just a sort of fancy way of saying that my course site evolves in a non-Darwinian way while the course is on, so that I have built into the design of the course various aspects that will allow me to gather information, to genuinely listen to what the students' needs are, and make changes while the course is still on. Welcome message for me. This is something new. Why people don't do this, I don't know. And media site technology is what we use at York to do this. It's the easiest part of the site. The podcasting and the media site are the easiest part. The web CT has the biggest learning curve, and I think any of the platforms I find do. This is the welcome message that students would view.
Welcome to Reasoning About Morality and Values. Welcome to the course. This course is going to be different than any other course you've ever taken before.
Diane Zorn, by the way, was very gracious at giving me permission to play her clips. I have a link to her website where you can learn more about her techniques and the technology they used. So I hope you enjoyed today's presentation, and I hope you enjoy the Christmas song at the end of my podcast. And I wish you all a great holiday season if you don't hear from me until the new year. So until next time, have a great week.
Please leave odd feedback at 610-616-2199.
First winter snow outside my window. Feels like that time again to me. The mistletoe, a Christmas show, and the lighting of that famous Christmas tree, yeah. People are shopping for their loved ones and making plans for a Christmas feast. But it all goes by in the blink of an eye, and then we have to wait another. Give to those who are in need.
business.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Please don't forget to leave Rod feedback. You can go to www.rodspulsepodcast.com and leave comments on his blog. You can send feedback to his email address, rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. You can also send audio feedback by calling into his comment line at 610-616-2199. Till next time, have a great week.
The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Merry, and does not represent the official viewpoint of Thomas Jefferson University, or any other institution or company.